Support for today's broadcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing. Strategic Farm Marketing is now holding a series of risk management seminars throughout Illinois and Indiana. Information on seminar dates and locations is available at sfarmmarketing.com or 800-383-0046.
It's 10 degrees above zero on Friends Plaza this morning at 8:50, and time for our pre-opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good morning, everyone. Early calls for cash hog prices across the Midwest today are mostly steady on tightened packer margins versus somewhat limited offerings this week. Over in the terminals, the early market calls are mixed, with top prices from $40 to $47.50. Peoria called a dollar higher today, with the top price of $40. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Tuesday, January 30th, negotiated swine purchases were 13,824. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $52 to $64.50. The weighted average was $59.65, a gain of 50 cents from Monday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $41.04 to $52, and the weighted average was $50.77. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 16,723. The base price range was $54 to $65. The weighted average, $62.13, a gain of 40 cents from Monday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $43.96 to $52, and the weighted average was $48.52.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is Mike Sola. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave. We have some changes, not in the near term, but in the medium range forecast models out about 2 weeks. So there are changes brewing, not ready to jump on board, but it would mean milder temperatures for much of the Midwest, and probably more importantly for agricultural concerns, some rains across India. But again, that's about 10 days out, where the models are suggesting we will start to see a change. And for India, it means that The model suggests widespread rain developing in the second week of February. Model data right now suggesting anywhere between a quarter and three-quarters of an inch, with a number of one-inch totals for both Pakistan and northern India. Coverage, according to the models, would be close to 100%. Now, again, that is a little ways off, and it does bear watching, but not ready to influence the market on that forecast quite yet. That's also about the time that we will start to see a change, according to the computer models, in the North American weather, where the milder temperatures will start to spread across the western states, the plains, and by around Valentine's Day, a milder air pushing into the Midwest as well. The weather of immediate concern in Brazil: scattered showers across more than 80% of the grain and oilseed country in Brazil yesterday and early this morning. Much of the precipitation was light, but a few amounts of 1 to 2 inches were reported in northern Paraná, central Mato Grosso do Sul, and Minas Gerais. Most other areas reported a few hundredths of an inch to nearly an inch. There will continue to be no shortage of rainfall for the next couple weeks across Brazil, with most of the nation being impacted with significant rain and no large areas of dryness expected. There is still going to be some concern over the limited sunshine and slightly cooler conditions across central south Brazil, where they do need to experience some drying. The best crop conditions for Brazil will remain in Mato Grosso and also in Rio Grande do Sul to Paraná. In Argentina, some rain was taken out of the forecast for today. Lighter, more erratic distribution of rain may lead to greater net drying. But again, that does look like the forecast models are trending a little too dry, and increased rainfall may emerge during one of the storm systems that will impact the country of Argentina later this week. and in through the first 2 weeks of February. It's also important to note that much of Argentina continues to have favorable soil moisture, especially the subsoil moisture, and that should help to carry on normal crop development in the absence of a significant rainfall. South Africa, rain did fall across about three-quarters of their grain and oilseed country yesterday and early today. Amounts between a half inch and up to an inch were reported. Periodic showers and thunderstorms will continue over the next 10 days to 2 weeks throughout South Africa. Precipitation erratic in some areas, receiving significant rainfall, while some other locations struggle to get enough precipitation to counter the evaporative losses. And in Australia, they did have some random showers and thunderstorms in a few cotton and sorghum producing areas yesterday. Most of the precipitation not very great, varying from a few hundredths of an inch to about a third of an inch, with greater rain falling in the northern sugarcane country. Most of Australia was dry, with higher temperatures climbing back into the 80s and 90s, and hot conditions in Western Australia, where readings were well above 100 degrees, starting to stress the livestock there. Now, as far as the upcoming weekend across the U.S., it will be very cold, and there will be temperatures that will be as low as 25 below to 5 below across the northern plains and in the uppermost Mississippi River Basin. Lows below zero will occur southward into southern Kansas, central Missouri, and even central Illinois and northern Indiana. Wind chills will make those temperatures seem much worse, and that will be threatening for animals, with waves of light snow and snow flurries occurring through most of the weekend. No major snow accumulation expected in the northern half of the plains or upper Midwest. And southern areas will encounter the greatest precipitation, with a storm system right now headed towards the Ohio River Valley that could bring an inch of accumulating snow. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In the Tuesday overnight trading session, Kansas City March wheat opened at 482, up a quarter last trade, up one. July, 495 unchanged last trade, up a half. At the Board of Trade, March wheat opened at 460 and a half, up one. Last trade, up two. July, 481 down a half, last trade, up two. December, $5 and a half, down a quarter, last trade, up 3 3/4. March corn opened at 405 and a quarter, up a half. Last trade down a quarter. July, 423 and a half, up one. Last trade up a quarter. December, 398 and a half, up a half. Last trade up a half. March beans opened at 720 and a half, down a half. Last trade up one. July, 749 and a quarter, down a quarter. Last trade up one and a half. November, 772 and a half, down one. Last trade down a quarter. March soybean meal opened at 208.40, unchanged. Last trade unchanged. March soybean oil opened at 29.45, down one. Last trade up one. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Clayton.
Hi, good morning, Dave.
At the top of the hour, USDA Secretary Mike Johanns will unveil his version for Farm Bill 2007. We had Stats Canada numbers out this morning. The Commerce Department saying that the fourth quarter GDP grew at 3.5%. We have the Fed meeting today to discuss interest rates. Will any or all of this matter to the trade in the short term today?
Yeah, an awful lot of news. So I also get the crude inventories coming out at 9:30, and then like you said, the farm bill talk here at the top of the hour is sure going to be interesting. I guess it has the potential to provide some surprises to the market, although got to remember they are just proposals, and ultimately it's going to take a bipartisan effort to get anything agreed upon. So it seems like things have a firmer tone to them overnight and this morning. Most of the news items that are out directly relating to grains seem a little on the positive side. The Stats Canada numbers were a little supportive for both wheat and canola, I think. That might add to it. Still some weather concerns here as far as the real cold temps out there in wheat country and all. Crude oil is taking a little bit of a breather at the moment, but boy, after the run-up yesterday, it's kind of what you expect. It's amazing what that did, and no question that was a real catalyst to the strength, I think, in the grain markets. So a little firmer here this morning, but I think we'll see a two-sided trade, and it seems fairly non-directional, though.
How do you read the charts technically over the last 2 weeks?
I was kind of thinking that we were sort of leaning over here up until yesterday, in all honesty, and could get some more profit-taking. It seemed to me like, you know, some of the averages and stochastics and so forth were pointing towards some weakness, and I'm still not willing to say that that's not the case. I think yesterday, we'll soon see if yesterday is kind of a flash in the pan or not. And even with that run-up yesterday, you've still got corn below its 9-day moving average. It is impressive, no doubt about that, but I think it's going to have to get some quick follow-through here to really mean a lot. And in the absence of that, I wouldn't be surprised to see us go down there and take another stab at that 396 in the front month March corn. As far as beans go, again, it went up right around to its 9-day average, and that kind of stopped it yesterday. But there, too, we've closed that gap from about a week and a half ago. I think we've got to get some real quick follow-through to get more players jumping on the long side, or on the buying side, I should say. And in the absence of that, I think this thing will probably just kind of go sideways here, and we'll probably have trouble picking up a lot of upside momentum at this point.
Thank you, Clayton.
Okay, thank you.
Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities. You're listening to WILO Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois.